community. It is now 2023, and this is the first episode of the Odyssey Files for this year. And I am quite unfortunately, for not only me, but for all of you, by myself. Could not get anybody to come on with me tonight. But in their defense, and not so much in mine, I did not give them any warning. I pretty much decided at about 4 o'clock this afternoon that I really wanted to do an episode, because it has been almost a month since I did the last episode of the Odyssey Files. And that has many, many reasons for being the case. One being, obviously, that it was peak season for my work. And even though it's kind of over now, I guess you can say it's kind of over now, still running six days a week. It just so happened that I had a schedule where I knew I was going to be home in time to actually do an episode. The second reason, obviously, is that Dave still has not come back, I guess you could say. Still looking forward to his return. Obviously, for new listeners, I do not know about David Soering, who has been my co-host for the last 5 years, and who has taken a hiatus for a while. So we have that. And so I've had my investigators, Sam Albus, and I've had Kim Juarez, and I've had my friend Jerry Ayers, all paranormal investigators, come on and help. And Sam will be back next week. We already have a great show lined up for that one. Tonight I just wanted to come on for an hour, just to let everybody know that we are still here, that the show is not done, and that we are going to continue to have a great year. And we're going to have more shows, great guests, some returning, some new, hopefully. And we've got a lot of things that we want to do with the show. And we are going to do that. We just have to set everything up and make sure that we're available. Probably going to be moving the show to Sunday night. It will be a full 2 hours next Sunday night. With Sam being here, we will be doing the first hour like normal, listener stories. And then the second hour, we are going to have the great Will Kunkel on. And for those of you who do not know who that is, he is a paranormal investigator. And he is also the caretaker of the Farrar Schoolhouse in Maxwell, Iowa. And I actually just heard from Dave. Okay, he might be back here in a couple of weeks. It just so happens that now that he's no longer living in my basement, that all of his stuff is still here. So it's not the fact that he doesn't want to come on, it's the fact that he can't. But him and I will work something out, and he will be back. But if not next week, might have him back next week. Save Sam for another time, but Dave will be back soon. So anyway, as I was saying with Will, he is the caretaker of the Farrar Schoolhouse, which is a well-known haunted location here in the Midwest, obviously, because it's Iowa. I have investigated it numerous times. I have had some great experiences there. I've had people have negative experiences there. I have had people have experiences right in front of me that I have nothing. I don't know what they're doing, what they're talking about. But the evidence has been great. Probably share some of that with you guys next week. But we'll be coming on to talk about Farrar and the history of it and some of his own personal experiences, and you know, kind of giving the lowdown of what is going on at the school now. Kindred Spirits has been there. I don't know if I know there's been multiple documentaries, you know, obviously like straight to Prime or whatever. It's going to be a good show. I'll try to line up some great evidence for their video and audio. I know I have had my own personal experience there that, I don't get scared. I do get apprehensive. I can be startled. But one experience did leave me a little unnerved, and that is because I don't know if anybody knows this about me, and I don't shy away from it at all. I do not want or like sleeping in haunted locations. I know a lot of paranormal investigators don't care. Some of them really, really like it. I don't. When I sleep, I want to sleep. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be messed with. I don't want to say visited, but like, I don't want spirits to like come into my dreams unless they're like my mom or my grandma, you know, relatives that I know are there to help and comfort or do whatever it is I need done. So I don't like sleeping in haunted locations, but we did, we have done, I should say, a 2-day event at Far where we all slept in the gym. And off the gym, there is the boiler room, which I have heard stories about the boiler room. People have gotten tons of experiences and stuff on the boiler room. I have never experienced anything. I don't think I've ever even gotten a piece of evidence out of the boiler room. In fact, the first time that I was there, the boiler room wasn't even like on the list. Like, there are no claims about the boiler room. So I'm thinking that that might be more made up, but or, you know, urban legend. But for whatever reason, we put a REM pod right in the entryway of the boiler room and left it there, left it on, blah, blah, blah. Everybody goes to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. I think it was probably about 3:30 in the morning, something like that. All of a sudden, the REM pod just goes off. No reason. Nobody's up. Nobody's around. It just burp. I was a little apprehensive after that. Don't know what it was. Never repeated. It was either the same event or another 2-day event that we did. But it was the next night. The second night we were going to get up and go. Everybody went to sleep. Nobody was making any sounds. Nobody was up. I don't know what I heard. Period. I can't explain it at all. It almost sounded like, I want to say, I thought I heard multiple voices, movement, but not even so much movement as in like something was being dragged, but like tons and tons of people walking, like the of the clothes and everything like that, like almost like you would hear if you were had a line of students and you were marching them out into like the courtyard or whatever for like a fire drill. And this went on for probably 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it was unreal what I was hearing. But anyway, that's Farrar. And so I don't know if it's still that active. I don't know if it was just because nobody was paying attention to them anymore. But the last couple of times I've been there while investigating, it's been pretty quiet. But it's a phenomenal location, and anybody who doesn't know anything about it should look it up. If you're a paranormal investigator in the Midwest or don't mind traveling, it is a great place to go. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. You can hear cars coming from a mile away because it just echoes. It's just out in the middle of cornfields. So, and it's about 25 miles or so northeast of Des Moines, Iowa. So that will be coming up next week. Other shows we have coming up, we're going to have Ken Bockel, a great tarot reader and medium, great friend of the show, just great friend in general. He is going to be coming on to make a huge announcement, something I wish I knew like the exact date so I could give it to you. I know what the announcement is. It's amazing. Everybody is going to want to listen to that one because not only are we going to have his announcement, but we're going to be coming, he's going to be coming on to have a very serious conversation about like the LGBTQ community in the paranormal. And me being, you know, a straight white guy, sometimes I'm naive and ignorant of certain things because to me, I don't care. You just, if you want to be a part of the paranormal, you're part of the paranormal. Doesn't matter about a sexual orientation or, you know, gender or whatever. But apparently that is something that needs to be discussed. And I want to have it. I want to have Sam on. I want to have Ken on. I want to have a very serious conversation about that. And I can't imagine any two people that I would like to have on for it. So look forward to that coming up probably in the next month and a half, I want to say. Month and a half to 2 months. We're hoping to have Jay Blumke back on, who is the producer. He's been producer of multiple paranormal TV shows, including early episodes of Ghost Hunters. Last time I talked to him, he was doing editing for the Curse of Oak Island. He's very big in the paranormal. He's also one of the founders of the Dark Zone, which has like Susan Slaughter and Kristen. I'm sorry, it's been a long day. Like Kristen from A&E's Ghost Hunters. I can't remember her last name, and that's terrible of me. But anyway, she's great. Obviously, she's not great enough for me to remember her fucking last name. Pardon the F word. But it'll come to me, in probably the next 24 hours. It'll just pop in my head. But anyway, hoping to have him on. Dustin Perry, just waiting on a few things for them, for him to be coming back on here. So we're going to have a lot of really, really great shows. We also want to showcase a lot of teams. It's been Dave and Mize's kind of goal that we want at least one reputable team, paranormal team from each state to come on for an interview. We've already done Minnesota. We've done North Dakota. And that's as far as we got. So this is the day. This is the year. This is the year where we are going to have a team from each state. I don't know if we'll make it through. Obviously, that's a lot of shows. That's 48 more shows to go for that. So we won't get through them all this year, but we definitely want that. So look for that. The other thing that is going to be coming up, that I've always shied away from it, just because Dave's not really a part of it. But I'd really like to talk about things that I do with my team. I think that it's important. I think that it's great to talk about the things that we are doing. If you want to come out, if you live here in the Twin Cities or in the Midwest, and want to come and see us or join us for an event, something like that, I would like to talk about that more on the show. In fact, just to start off with that, so obviously the Odyssey Paranormal Society, been doing it, been director of that team, founder and director of that team for the last 7 years. So It predates obviously the Odyssey Files. But I wonder where the inspiration came from. But I know February 25th, we have thrown in our submission at the Brooklyn Park Library for a free, completely free evidence presentation with my team and I. It's Saturday, February 25th at 1 p.m. Just waiting for the confirmation. Can't imagine why I wouldn't, but obviously once that is confirmed, probably by next week, we'll be able to announce that officially. I know my team and I want to do several events this year. Don't know how many we'll actually get to or where they're going to be. We are thinking we have two amazing cemeteries that we go to and have pretty much permission to go to anytime that we want. We try not to, you know, overstay our welcome, but we're able to go anytime we want, have permission to do so. So we're thinking that we might do a very small event where we split the team three and three, and one team takes some people and the other team takes some other people, and you go to separate cemeteries and try to have simultaneous investigations. Might even try to see if, you know, because they're only like 5 miles away from each other. They're under 10. I'll just say that. I don't know exact distance, but and then the next night just switch. So the whole weekend you get two cemeteries, two investigations with the team. And we're thinking we're going to make that very cheap. And, you know, of course, everything goes back to the team. And so, again, stay tuned for that. Hope that people will be willing to join us for that. And, of course, if you have any questions, if you have any stories that you would like to send in to myself and whoever my co-host may be that night, probably Dave, coming back up here shortly. You can send them in to odysseyfilesradio@gmail.com. You can direct message me here at the Facebook page. Yeah, pretty much probably only going to be me that reads and responds to it. You can do that. You can contact me at Odyssey Paranormal Society, the Facebook page, or director at odysseyparanormalsociety.com. And obviously odysseyparanormalsociety.com is my team's website. You can see all kinds of evidence in our cases, although I will fully admit I have done an absolutely terrible job keeping that page updated. It gets so tedious. I'm sorry. It's like, well, I could update this, but I could take a nap also. Come on, people, you can get behind me on that one. I will get to it here soon. But yeah, tons of stuff to do. So anyway, if you have anything that you guys would like to ask me now, like right now on the show, you can go ahead and throw your comments into the comment section, and I will do my best to answer them. Otherwise, I do have four stories that I was able to pick out in the last half hour to read and respond to, just in case we needed it. But so yeah, that is what is going on for this year. Where we've been for the last month, just holidays and work, and honestly just being busy, but really not having a co-host. I would do the show all the time, but not knowing if Dave is coming back and my team having lives. I don't know what that's about, but whatever. I can't relate. Anyways, they can. Apparently Haley is the most popular person in the Midwest, but good for her. Anyways, so all right, moving on. Until a question comes in, I guess I'll just go to the first story. in which case you're only going to get my answer. Since I don't have a co-host to bounce off ideas or to discuss, chances are this might be shorter than people think. At least my answers. I haven't found any story so far that really needs a rant or a tangent on my part. And longtime listeners of the show knows those are always the good ones. At least me. Those are the ones that I love. When I can get passionate about it, put, you know, step up in my soapbox for a minute or two. But I know from experience that anytime I think something is going to last for a while here, like to talk about it, it doesn't at all. I once thought I had an entire hour long show and it took me 10 minutes to get through all of my material. That was not a good show. And I do believe I scrubbed that show off the face of the planet. So, you can't see it or see it or watch it or listen in whatever. Oh, another thing that we want to do this week, not this week, this year, is have another paranormal feud. In fact, Will Kunkel, who's coming on as a guest next week, his team is the reigning champ. We've had it twice so far. First time was a disaster. Second time went a lot better, but we have to do that again. If anybody listening would like to throw out a potential question for us to be able to poll people about the paranormal, please do so. OdysseyFilesRadio@gmail.com. Would love submissions, but obviously it has to have a multiple answer type question. And then we literally go out, Dave and I, go out to the people that we know, whether they, we like to try to have them have some sort of like background knowledge of the paranormal, but we, and we pull as many people as we can find. I'm not saying we get to 100, but pull as many people as we can find. And then we put two teams, pit two teams against each other. It's pretty fun. We got the bugs out the first time. That show is still around. You can go back into the archives on OdysseyParanormalSociety.com and listen to it. I will warn you, it is not pretty. In fact, it's one of those like train wrecks that you just can't stop looking at, in this case, listening to. Yeah, I'm not proud of that show, but it went off. It happened. I did not erase it as much as I wanted to. All right, getting into stories. Story number one. How do you know if your loved one is visiting you or if it's just a dream? And here's what they write. My aunt passed away at the beginning of December. It was expected, and she knew she was going to die soon. Before she died, I asked her if she could visit me somehow, and she said she would try. Last night, right before I woke up, I had a dream that I was talking to her, but I don't remember seeing her or asking her anything. Just her voice saying how much she missed me and that she couldn't wait to hold me again. Is there any way to distinguish from a dream and a visitation? So, to me, the best way is where, one, you remember. It's vivid enough to where you remember. You don't necessarily have to, you know, see everything or see her, but the presence is there. Like, you feel that energy. You feel that person is there. People who have normal dreams don't and I could be wrong. I'm just talking about my dreams now. You know, dreams are dreams, but when you wake up and the first thing was, you know, on your mind, that was them, then you had a visitation. I have had dreams with relatives in it, but they're just dreams. You know, I didn't wake up thinking that they were anything outside the norm. And I've also had dreams about my mother coming to visit me where you could feel the fact that or I could feel anyway, the fact that she was there. You know, she gave me a hug. I could feel, you know how you feel when you hug your mother. It just has that comfort to it. It has that feeling to it. It has that energy to it. And that's exactly what it was. I'm not ashamed to admit that I woke up and probably cried for 10 minutes because it was an amazing experience. And I know that that was her because of it, because that's never happened before. I've had, you know, weird ass dreams all the time, but they don't, you wake up with the knowledge that it was just a dream, whether it was a nightmare or not, you know, nightmare, dream, doesn't matter. You just know that it's a dream. And if you have these experiences that are vivid enough where they're so specific, then you know that it was a visitation. He didn't necessarily, I think it's a he didn't necessarily have to see her as much as just felt her presence, heard her voice. And she spoke not in any sort of, you know, like, hey, it was a great baseball game we had, you know, the other day, you know, or whatever. It was, I really miss you. I can't wait to, you know, be able to hug you again. That is very specific to her passing. And I definitely think that that is a visitation. And I guess I'm going to make this comparison, but it's like love. You just know, you know, if you have to ask, I'm saying that right. If you have to ask, then maybe you're not, I don't, whatever the line is, I don't know. All I'm saying is that, you know, you're in love. You know, if it's a visitation, you know, if it's a dream, it's just something that differentiates. There we go. Yes. Go me with English. Differentiates one from the other. Alrighty. Number two, strange sleep experience. So two or three nights ago, I was sleeping in bed and kept being woken up by my bed being forcefully shook. Every time I'd sit straight up and turn my phone light on. This went on for intervals of 35 to 40 minutes. Each time after looking around, I would see nothing and go back to bed. This went on two or three times before I was poked and hit awake. At first, I thought maybe it was a family member coming to wake me up. This is fairly common because it's easy for me to sleep in with my blackout curtains. Well, when I opened up my eyes, I saw at my side a dark, shadowy figure with whitish eyes, where the middle faded into black. There was this unnerving grin, which seemed as though it was proud of some grand joke I had fallen for. The thing that has me convinced that it wasn't a case of sleep paralysis is that I could move when I saw it. I immediately started grabbing for my phone to turn the light on. When I finally got the light on, it was gone. Now, I hate to be a stereotype, but when I saw this figure, it was 3:34 a.m. So any thoughts on what happened or anything really? I'm really unsure about the whole thing and would like some input. Thanks. So the first thing I'm going to hit upon is the fact of the 3:34 a.m. means nothing. Nothing. So you're not being a stereotype. Well, I guess that's not necessarily true, because the stereotype would be people who think that for whatever reason, between 3 and 4 is the witching hour and anything that happens there is evil. Not true. Not at all. Completely fake. It's superstition. You know, you might as well break a mirror or step on a crack or walk underneath the ladder. Is the same thing. It means nothing until obviously you make it mean something. But in general, the whole 3 a.m., blah, 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 nothing. There's nothing actually to that. Just something people want to believe. So throw that part out. That has nothing to do with nothing. I really wish you would have talked more about the description of this figure, because I really want to see if it's an encounter by the Hat Man. Those of you who don't know what the Hat Man is, look it up. It's amazing. Dave and I did like a 3-part series there. Or is it a 5-part series? I don't know. We did a lot of stuff on the Hat Man. But then again, this doesn't necessarily, I guess. Yeah. I think they probably would have gone into more details than just about the face in the middle fading into black. I'm going to get to that figure here in a second. The other thing, it wasn't a case of sleep paralysis, is that I could move. Well, even if you could move, you know, that figure really would have nothing to do with sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is a medical condition. I shouldn't even say medical condition. It's a medical term. Basically, your brain has not woken up yet from a dreamlike state. And when you go into a dreamlike, you know, when you go into REM sleep, or when you start to dream, your body paralyzes you to keep you from acting out your dreams. And sometimes people wake up so fast, your brain hasn't caught up to you and you're still paralyzed. Now, I think this person is probably referencing the old hag syndrome, which for whatever reason, people hallucinate when they wake up and they're still in their sleep paralysis. This obviously was not an old hag. I think people also do see like the black shadowy figure. I don't think that this is it. Obviously, you know, person can move. I think this was definitely something by her bed. I can't say, I'm not going to go so far as to say it was evil. Because just because it's a black figure with white eyes and had a grin or whatever doesn't mean that it had negative intentions. You know, any sort of spirit who is a partial manifestation is going to start out with being black. And then obviously as it fills in, it changes colors and everything else. I honestly think that this might just be a passing spirit. I don't think it was a family member. So I just think that somebody was messing with her for the hell of it. And whether they thought that they couldn't be seen, they were still invisible, I don't know. I one of the things that still baffles me to this day is the fact that we don't know how easy it is to manifest. We don't know if they even understand that they have manifested. I mean, there's been a couple times, whether it's on a paranormal TV show, I've even saw with my own eyes, like a pair of legs walking by, but there's nothing else there. Is that intentional, or are they completely unaware that they can be seen? Nobody knows, at least not as far as I know. So I don't know how easy it is for them to do that. So this figure might have just been completely messing with them, having the time of their lives, and, you know, unbeknownst to them, got seen, you know, the last time that they did it. So I honestly think it was more mischievous than it was evil. Just again, the fact that it's black does not mean that it's negative. All right. Story number 3. I need advice. Okay. I moved into this house with my boyfriend at the beginning of November, around the 4th of 2022. So very, very recently. I've always had a weird feeling when I've come to visit, as my boyfriend lived here with roommates before I moved in with him. Over time, my mental health started to take a downfall. For context, I've been diagnosed schizoaffective bipolar. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound very good. I mean, I know like each one means, I just don't know what it means when you put them together. Diagnosed at 19 and have been medicated since. My symptoms are manageable and I have coping skills that keep me grounded and my meds help a lot. I still struggle with social anxiety and some small delusions centered around that, but I can usually keep myself in reality and push those thoughts away, especially when I've been taking my meds regularly. When I first moved in, I was taking my meds regularly and only missed maybe one or two days a month. I know I need to take them every day, but sometimes I just forget. And even before moving in, had lived alone for months without any sort of issues coming up. Almost immediately, I started having random bouts of anger, sadness, and panic-like anxiety, and all would leave me in a broken, crying mess. I started struggling to sleep, only getting 3 or 4 hours a night, if that. Eventually, I did run out of my meds, and because of the sudden change in my mood and the lack of sleep, I haven't had the energy to sit through another appointment, which is where my problem comes in. For a while now, even on my meds, but not right after I moved in, maybe for the past month, I've been feeling uneasy and not safe. Just general feelings of unease and anxiety. My boyfriend left to rehab for alcoholism treatment. Long story, he's getting the help he needs and wants, and I support him 100%, so please refrain from judgment. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not judgmental at all. But seriously, good for you. No judgment. About a week ago and 4 days ago, I walked out of our bedroom to find the front door just standing wide open. Thought it was weird and it did freak me out, but I looked around and didn't see anything. So I just figured maybe it was the wind or a vortex caused by me shutting the bedroom door after going to the bathroom. I don't know. Everything logical. Thought it did give me a bad feeling. After that, I went about my day. And the sun went down and I started to feel this really, really heavy feeling in my room, just like an anxious, dreadful feeling that wouldn't go away. And it was almost like coming from the window on the other side of the room. Again, just tried to think logically and rationally as I do to cope and told myself I was just freaking myself out and being delusional and whatever, but just could not shake this feeling. It was overwhelming. I kept having to sit up in bed while trying to sleep to check if anything was actually standing there, and I never saw anything, but just felt like it. There's a TV directly to the left of the window, and I was feeling this coming from TV to the left of the window, I was feeling this coming from. Sorry about that. I had to put that in ways that I even understood. And at one point, I opened my eyes after trying to sleep and saw that the TV had turned itself on at some point. That freaked me out, but I tried to just ignore it and do my best to not acknowledge whatever was going on and pass it off as coincidence and me being overly paranoid. But it's been days and I'm still just generally uneasy and unsafe feeling, which gets worse when the sun goes down. So much so I can't sleep until it's daylight again and still only for maybe 3 or 4 hours, sometimes less. Basically, the point of this ramble is, am I being delusional? I know I need to get back on my meds, and I am working on that. But do you think that the door being open and my TV turning on and the intense feeling could be something more? I'm going to leave for my mom's in the morning because it's going getting to the point where it's too much and I'm overwhelmed. What can I do? Okay. I am first going to talk about the diagnosed schizoaffective bipolar. I'm obviously not a medical doctor, so do not take anything that I say as gospel or by the book. But I'm not sure that you have been properly diagnosed. Only because some of these things that are going on go beyond that. Obviously the door being open, the TV turning on, that is not, you know, schizo delusional bipolar. That has nothing to do with emotions. That is physical and could be considered obviously paranormal. are there rational and natural explanations that could explain those? Absolutely. Just would have to get in there and actually see what, you know, separate the two. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, right now, that they can be considered paranormal. You move into this house, and right away, you start having mood swings different from where you were. Honestly, as I'm reading this, I get like the very strong sensation that, you know, you have abilities. I mean, people who have the ability to hear, clairaudient, hear voices, and they tell the wrong people, or the people who want to jump the conclusion that the voices are only in your head because they can't hear them, are going to, they're going to call you schizophrenic, that you're hearing voices and you don't know what to do. And when you hear that and you keep getting told, I'm not hearing any voices, you're just hearing the voices, you start to believe it yourself. An empath, especially one who can't control their abilities, is going to suck in everything there. As I was reading this, I got the sense of emotional transference. And they are picking up the energy either of the house or the people around. Obviously, the boyfriend went into, and again, I'm not judging, I'm just throwing this out there, that, you know, when people have alcoholic problems, they get angry, or, you know, they have the mood swings. They have a reason for why they became an alcoholic. I think I'm not one, but I'm thinking that something triggered it. Is she picking up on that? You know, and if she does have abilities, especially ones she can't control, she's going to attract a lot of spirits. And if they're angry, if they're filled with anxiety because they don't know what's going on, if they're confused, if they don't know they're dead, she's going to pick up on all of that. And if she has all of that around her all at once, and she doesn't know what is going on, and she doesn't know how to control it, I can't imagine how overwhelming that would be. So I honestly do not think that she's been properly diagnosed. I think that I would probably go to a medium just to be on the safe side, or maybe go to a parapsychologist and see what they say, as opposed to, you know, a clinical psychologist, because they are never going to take whether you have abilities as any sort of credence or credibility. I'm going to stay with the parapsychologist just because I want somebody professional who would be open to whether it is possible that you're a medium sucking in all this energy and attracting these spirits, as opposed to just being crazy, or, you know, being this, the hell was it? Diagnosed schizoaffective bipolar. I mean, people who are empaths and absorb people's emotions and absorb people's energies, their emotions will change based on who's around. And it's happened to people that I know. It's in fact, that was how they knew, is because when you walk in a room and your mood immediately shifts to whatever's going on, you are an empath. You're not crazy. It's just part of who you are. So I would try to find a parapsychologist to talk to and tell them what is going on, tell them this story, and see what they say. I'm sure they're going to have studies like equipment, stuff that could measure brainwave patterns and things like that. That is just me. Again, not a doctor. All I'm saying is that I'm seeing things here that go beyond just being schizophrenic and bipolar and taking meds. So yeah. Let's see here. All right. This is the last story that I have. I changed that. This is the last story I could find before I had to get out of the air. Plus, it's only 13 minutes. I'm so proud of myself. Okay, my experience with a shadow creature. Here we go. In late 2014, my ex-husband and I separated, but still lived together due to it being a very expensive area to live in. We had separate bedrooms, so it wasn't too terrible. We also had a young child, toddler age. It was a two-story townhome in the middle of a row of townhomes. I was sleeping in the master bedroom while my ex and kid were in the two front bedrooms. I frequently have insomnia, so I like to read late at night. I was reading some romance novel, and it was around 2 a.m. when I suddenly became aware of it. My bedroom door was closed, but I could feel the wrongness on the stairs. Interesting. Whatever the creature was, it was crouching in the darkness, slowly climbing the stairs. I could feel that even the air was still. I opened my bedroom door and looked down the stairs. Nothing was there. But as soon as the light fell on the stairs, the feeling of wrongness vanished. It was like the air could suddenly move again. My cat tore up the stairs, dashed under the bed, and did not come back out all night. I decided I was imagining things. It was going to go to bed. As soon as I closed my bedroom door, I felt the wrongness return. I ended up turning on my overhead light and keeping my door cracked so it cast a beam of light on the stairs. I tested it, and every time I closed the door, I felt the wrong feeling return, and if I turned off the bedroom light, I could feel it creeping up the stairs. I stayed up the whole night keeping the light on. Once the sun rose, I decided I had been imagining things. About 3 months later, I moved out. And my boyfriend, who is kind of a mystical sage, saged our new place before we moved in. My first night there, though, I was alone. And I cried in relief most of the night. I hadn't realized how much low-level wrongness I had been feeling for years. But even at this point, I chalked it up to me being over-imaginative. 2 years later, my ex was getting ready to move out of the townhome and started talking on social media about it. He expressed how happy he was to be leaving that place because of the thing on the stairs. I never told him about it, but he described almost exactly the same feeling of wrongness in the thing that would slowly creep up if he didn't leave the light on. He is very much a skeptic and repeatedly said, "I know this sounds crazy." The fact that I never told him about it, and I never mentioned it to anyone, but he described it so accurately. Additional odd note, while we lived there, Iz and every other family living in this row of townhomes got divorced. While my marriage was never great to begin with, there was a couple that lived next to us that had been married 40 plus years, but they also got divorced. I believe it was a shadow creature that had it not been held at bay with light, we would all have died. We all would have died to it. I think that's extreme. Sorry. No, I don't believe you would have died to it. Just putting that out there right now. I think you would be okay. But it is interesting that everybody in that place got divorced. I almost want to say, and I'm going kind of out left field here, that it was a poltergeist. And I don't mean that in a noisy ghost type of way. like things flying off the shelf type of ways. A poltergeist is a PK manifestation brought on by human people. And when it gets to a certain stage, it can look like a black blob. I mean, it's not going to have a form to it, really. I mean, it's not going to suddenly appear as a human form because it never had a human form. It's just kind of this big black blob of emotion. And when you're in, I mean, and it doesn't just stop because of walls. So if you're in many, many, you know, multiple townhomes and you're in the middle of it, all of your energy combined could have formed this thing. And if it started to get to the point where it's putting out all of this negative energy, it could affect everybody in that place, just moving from one person to another. It's sad. Unfortunately, it does happen. When you have that amount of concentrated energy, you are going to form this conscientious being. Unfortunately, that's probably what happened. You weren't going to die to it. I just want to reiterate that. But I think what was going on and the reason why it went away when the light went on is you felt better. When the light is, I mean, when people can see, they just feel better. It's that darkness. It's that unknown. They start to freak themselves out and it gets more energy to it. It gets more powerful. The energy is more intense. When the light is on, you feel more comfortable. You can see. And it loses it. So, yeah. I lost what I was going to say. I was pretty much done. It's like, how can I spread this out another 6 minutes? That's my answer to that one. I don't know how many people would agree with me on that. Like I said, it is a little out in left field, but I don't think this thing was a creature that was trying to kill you. I think it was a creature that was created by all of those people combined. Okay. So there are 6 minutes left. There's nobody watching me right now. So nobody's here asking me a question, which sucks, but it's okay. Apparently nobody gives a crap about learning more about me. Classic humanity. So once again, want to reiterate what I said at the beginning of the show. Dave should be back here shortly. We already have next week already planned out. Will Conkle will be coming on to talk about Farrar, and we'll have another set of your stories and questions. Again, if you would like to write in and have your story or your questions, you know, read and responded to on the air, odysseyfilesradio@gmail.com, or you can private message me here on the Odyssey Files radio show Facebook page, and we will we'll get it on there. We'll respond. I may even, and this has happened, where I will respond right away to you personally, just so that you don't have to wait for a week or several days to get your response, and then we'll still put it on the air. So if you have activity, or someone you know has activity that you would like, you know, somebody to talk with us about, obviously I have my team, the Odyssey Paranormal Society. And if you live in the Twin Cities, if you live pretty much in like the three-state area, meaning like Wisconsin, Iowa, we'd even probably go to North Dakota, South Dakota. If you, you would like us to do an investigation, let us know. We're here to help. You know, Dave and myself are here to help. That's all we want to do. Dave has said it many, many times in this show. If we can come on and we can make somebody think about this a little bit more, or we can come on and give advice that really helps somebody overcome an issue, it makes it all worth it. And it really does. So, again, honestlyfilesradio@gmail.com. If you have any stories and questions, next week, it'll either be Dave back, or Sam will be with me again, and we'll get 2023 on the road. We will be back with regular episodes, and new topics and new guests and old friends. So, I guess I don't particularly have anything left to talk about. I can't believe I made it through the entire hour by myself. I thank you for however long you're going to listen to this, if you listen to the whole thing. I have been known to put people to sleep. So I always say that a conversation with me is better than a bottle of Valium. So with that said, I will see everybody next week. It will be Sunday night at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 Central. We'll be doing your stories, and then we'll be, wow, that was almost a tongue twister. Will be on at 8 o'clock to talk about the Farrar Schoolhouse. So until then, stay healthy, stay safe. I want to see you back here next week. Everyone have a great night.